Omaha Public Radio presents a special program on Noon Forum. We'll hear an address given at an education reform town hall. The event was sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Nebraska. The guest speaker will be Michelle Malkin, nationally syndicated columnist, regular commentator on the Fox News Network, and author of The Culture of Corruption, Obama and His Team of Tax Cheats, Crooks, and Cronies, and Unhinged, Exposing Liberals Gone Wild. The topic of her talk will be the Common Core Curriculum. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday evening, September 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Americans for Prosperity Nebraska, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the speaker is Matthew Litt, the director of Americans for Prosperity Nebraska.
Before we get to Michelle, I just want to talk about the shared experience that we all have going through education, being educated through our entire lives. And it really is one of the things that we all share in common. We all walk into that classroom, whether it's a formal classroom or it's at the kitchen table. We all share that. And a lot of people find it kind of odd that Americans for Prosperity is involved in the education topic. But we know that you need an educated citizenry in order to make free market choices, in order to advance forward our great state of Nebraska and advance forward this great country of ours. So not only are we pushing for school choice in the form of charter schools and vouchers, greater opportunities for online education, but we're also working to keep Common Core out of the state of Nebraska. Yes. Now, and we oppose Common Core for three simple reasons. One, it's the same pig with a different shade of lipstick. This has been tried in Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top. It's just slightly modified. The second reason is it adds to the bloated price of education that we already have. Not only do we have to buy new textbooks, but we need to train teachers in new pedagogies to teach these standards. Not only that, the testing is more expensive. We just keep adding to the cost of education. And what I think is most important is that it takes the control away from parents and local educators and gives it to federal bureaucrats. And that's something that we have the great fortune of in Nebraska. We don't have the standards yet. But I just want to point out what's happening in our state right now. So right now, the State Board of Education is comparing the Common Core standards to our Nebraska standards. At the same time, the board is going to be hiring a new Commissioner of Education. So this is a great opportunity while the assessments are being done, while the hiring process is going on, is to remind our elected officials that we do not want Common Core standards in Nebraska. You know, governors across the state, citizens across the state, parents whose kids have to go through the Common Core standards are standing up and questioning why we ever chose to do this. And folks, why this is extremely important is because our kids, future Nebraskans, have one chance. You have one chance. Whether it's your son or daughter, your niece or nephew, your grandchild, that little kid across the street who keeps throwing the ball at your car, that kid has one chance to put on a backpack, walk through the first grade classroom door. You have one chance to be a freshman, have that really awkward, anxious moment walking down senior hallway. And while those things are going on, you have one chance to go through the formal education process. And so, folks, we need to be sure. We need to be sure that we are providing the best for our kids. And we can do that in the state of Nebraska because we have local control. And now, folks, I'd like to introduce you to our guest of honor, someone who runs circles around me on the topic, best-selling author, blogger, syndicated columnist, darling of the right, Michelle Malkin.
Thank you. I'm loaded for bear. How about you guys? This is an amazing welcome, and I cannot wait to get started here. I know that your time is very valuable and precious. All of you in this room who are parents like me are always doing a gazillion things. I was joking in the car with the driver on the way from the airport here, because we were talking about how, really, at this stage of life, I've got a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. My real full-time job is chauffeur. And in addition to everything else that we do in our daily lives, putting food on the table and earning a living and trying to shape these children into the next generation of informed, responsible citizens, we have to constantly and vigilantly combat all of the forces, unfortunately, on both sides of the aisle, that are undermining our authority and our family sovereignty and our ability to control our children's destiny. And, you know, no matter what your political background is, no matter what your personal history is, what we all share in common here is that for every parent and grandparent in the room, here's how we define ourselves. You know, I have a lot of different hats that I wear, and most of you know me from the little screen. Some of you know me as Juan Williams derogatorily called me, just a blogger. Just a blogger. And isn't that condescending attitude? Isn't that elitist attitude what we confront every time we have to deal with these control freaks? I'm just a blogger. You're just Tea Party monsters. You're just taxpayers. You're just a mom. You're just a dad. From the time that I really became politically active and then politically radioactive, it's that attitude that I've long identified and always sought to combat. I had the privilege when I was in college of working with a brilliant political professor at, believe it or not, UC Berkeley. He was one of the few, the proud, the right-minded, with a small R and a capital R. His name was Aaron Wildavsky. And in one of his last significant acts, he died of lung cancer many, many years ago, but in one of his last acts, he had a real-world experiment where he recruited undergrads and graduate students who had absolutely no training in science. So he picked people who were all in the humanities. I was an English major at wacky Oberlin College at the time. And he assigned us the task of learning how to read peer-reviewed scientific research and understand how controlled experiments and trials worked so that we could assess what at the time in the early 1990s were considered conventional wisdom in the environmental world. So he assigned me the task of going back and researching whether Love Canal, that should ring a bell for many of you, was as it had been portrayed by the left, that it was the evil businesses that poisoned all of these people and that leaching from the ground caused this. The reason why this is very significant, of course, is because Love Canal was essentially the first huge, you know, Superfund cesspool and boondoggle. I mean, it was literally a federal taxpayer-subsidized pit. And the name of the book of chapters that were written by undergrads and grads was "But Is It True?" Because every time these so-called experts, if any of you have read The Fatal Conceit by Hayek, you understand what I'm talking about. These technocrats who make bold claims that are dressed up in science that have absolutely no basis in fact. And this set of skills has been extremely useful to me in the assessment of the claims of educrats. And Common Core is an analogous to Love Canal. It is a massive cesspool. And the claims made around it are, well, let me use a scientific term, bull crap. The first thing that you need to do, of course, and I'm sure many of you in the room already have, is to go to the official Common Core site, which is at corestandards.org, and read through the entire marketing plan. That's what it is a marketing plan. Read through each and every one of the sections in the math and English standards. This racket was facilitated by the Obama administration through Race to the Top federal funding. But for those of you who are veterans of these education wars, you know, as Matt said, that it is simply the latest morphing, the latest iteration of the Fed-Ed scheme that has been backed by a toxic alliance of both big government and big business. My four main questions, challenges, problems with Common Core are these: the constitutionality, the cost, the quality or lack thereof, and privacy issues. So when Jeb Bush, who's been the biggest Common Core peddler in the Republican Party, stands up before CEOs and establishment types in D.C. and says and sneers that opponents of Common Core are in support of mediocrity, my response is, how dare you? How dare you? I want to make clear to you, and I think it's important, that you understand that my opposition isn't just merely some knee-jerk partisan opposition. My mother was a public school teacher in South Jersey for upwards of 30 years. And the mix of the types of educational delivery that I had myself benefited me in great ways. And it's because my parents exercised their authority and their choices that I had my academic training optimized. I went to a public school up until eighth grade, and then a Catholic school through high school. And when I had my own children, I thought long and hard about how best to deliver education to them. I always think of myself as my kids' primary educational provider. I'm first. Not any of you. We are all our children's primary education providers. Jeb Bush doesn't care about my kids more than I do. Rupert Murdoch, Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, Barack Obama, Arne Duncan, Michelle Obama. Keep your hands off my kids. So that's the first red flag, isn't it? When they presume that I'm too dumb, too stupid, too corrupt, too ideological to determine the best method, the best standards, the best textbooks for my own children. I birthed them, I nursed them, I bathe them, I feed them, and every single night from the time they were of educable age, I have had control over what goes in their head, in their heart, and how I shape their souls. In the partnership, in the community of people who most care about my kids, it's local control that serves our children best. And so the question is, for Republicans who are pushing Common Core, and before it, No Child Left Behind, and before it, Goals 2000, and before that, National School to Work, and before that, Outcomes-Based Education. The question is, how does your unyielding support of these Fed Ed schemes comport with your purported conservative, limited government principles? This does not compute. And so that is why so rarely when you hear GOP spokespeople pushing Common Core down our throats, they never talk about the C word, the Constitution. Because can you tell me where, is it indexed in the back, where it says that there's supposed to be this massive role for federal government educrats to determine not just standards? Aren't they brilliant? You know, all of these establishment, big Fed Ed Republicans, they've co-opted the language and tactics of the progressives that they say they oppose. And what those progressives have done is co-opted the language of achievement and excellence. It's insidious. This is George Orwell's world, and we're just living in it. Common Core, 21st century learning, high standards, skills for a global working environment and workplace. Don't we want all kids to be college prepared and ready? I do. Do you? Because what I read does not compute. So when you have a Republican Party that once stood for abolishing, remember those good old days when they stood for abolishing the Federal Department of Education, now crusading for an ever-encroaching role of these distant experts, your immediate response should be, whoa, wait just a minute. The quality of the standards. I urge you all, I'll say it again and again, to do your own homework. And to contrast my attitude that you not trust me. Don't trust me farther than you can throw me. I know some of you could throw me pretty far. You will have to hone your own skills and be able to separate the wheat from the chaff and to assess the credentials and the conflicts of interest that people have on both sides of this issue. And so when you have a governor who sits on the board of a corporation that would directly benefit, financially benefit, from imposing these federal standards, you have to ask, do you really have my kids' best interest at heart? There are two very informed figures in this battle who sat in on the sausage making back before this thing was rolled out by the Obama administration in all of those backdoor meetings. And they sat on something called the Validation Committee, which was essentially the dog and pony show to dress up this pig and give it heft and gravity, and the illusion of rigor. Sandra Stotsky, who's a Professor Emeritus from the University of Arkansas, and James Milgram, who's a math professor, the two of them refused to sign on, ultimately, to validate these standards because of what they saw and what they didn't see behind the scenes. And one of the talking points that you hear over and over and over again, they all read from the same script. You'll notice that. They use the same anecdotes. They're not funny. They use the same analogies, which make no sense. They use the same non-factoids, which cannot be validated. And they say over and over and over again, these standards are internationally benchmarked and world class. Stotsky and Milgram both asked their colleagues, which part of the world? Which benches? And very tellingly, they never got an answer. And, these Common Core salesmen, they're so slick. Because when you try and nail them down on that, they'll use all sorts of gobbledygook language to get around it. Oh, well, they won't say this, but essentially they say, well, they're sort of benchmarked or kind of close. We had it in mind. Internationally benchmarked. Zev Yerman, who is a longtime education reformer and mathematician, is another person I trust who has followed the development of the so-called math standards from the very beginning. And along with Milgram and many others, his assessment is that these standards will do the exact opposite. It's opposite world of what they say they're going to do. Rather than bring everyone up to speed with the rest of the world, we'll actually end up 2 years behind. And I have a particular interest in math education. Hello, Jeb Bush, I hope you're listening. Because math education was what really got me galvanized when it came to my own daughter. When I lived in Baltimore, Maryland, thank goodness I don't live in the Beltway East Coast environment anymore, I had sent my daughter to a very shishy, Tony private school, even fancier than my college campus. It had all the shiny buildings, ballet dance studio, and world-class science lab, and world-class teachers. And she kept coming home every night with the same nonsense math homework. She wasn't actually doing math. She was coloring numbers. And this, okay, first grade, I get it, okay, that's fine. Second grade, she was bringing home the same exact worksheets. And initially I didn't worry because I looked at the bottom of the worksheet and it said it was from the University of Chicago. And who am I to argue? Also, I confess that I am the least mathematically able Asian American in America. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But my husband is the mathematically inclined person in the family. He's got more PhDs and MAs than he knows what to do with. And he ended up with the hardest job in the world, being a homeschooling dad. And a lot of that didn't come in handy. But we decided that we needed to talk to her teachers about this. And so we went in and we asked why she kept getting the same worksheets over and over again. And they said, oh, well, that's a strategy. That's another word they always use, strategy. We need to learn alternative strategies. Because the old tried and true Western white man algorithms are too boring and kids can't relate to them anymore. So they said that this strategy was called spiraling. And I thought, well, you know, it does have the effect of giving me a headache because I am paying out the nose for a good education and paying taxes for everybody else's education as well. I could at least get something out of this for my daughter. The other irony, I'll note, is that this was an all-girls school. And one of the feminist arguments about single-sex, female-separated schools is supposed to be that it's a friendlier environment for them to learn math and science. Well, it may be friendly, but my girl is not learning math. She's learning art. High-priced art. So we went home with the worksheets, and they said, well, don't worry, you know, it's only the beginning of the year. Things will get better, you'll see. And they didn't, because at the end of the year, she was cutting things out. And it turned out, after doing some research and taking matters into our own hands, because that's what parents do, we realized that this was an animal called everyday math. And everyday math is one in a long line of these fuzzy math, new math strategies to make math fun. And there were parents all across the country when we were experiencing this in 2006, 2007, that had become enlightened about what was really going on here. That essentially, you had University of Chicago academics, not the math department, not the economics department, it was the education department, where the goal is not imparting actual knowledge into children's heads, it's advancing a social justice agenda. That these textbooks had taken hold across the country, that they were growing essentially a monopoly on the elementary math school landscape, and that if I thought these coloring exercises were bad, I had no idea what was going on in the rest of the country. In the fifth and sixth grade textbooks, they had questions like this. If math were a color, what color would it be? Well, my color is red with rage. Because how are they getting away with this? And a lot of it is because they presume that you will not challenge them. So when I saw that video last week of Robert Small, the man from Towson, Maryland, who stood up at his local school meeting. Well, there, yes. Where the parents were supposed to just sit there like cattle, is the word he used. Sheep is a word I'd use. And swallow this information and not say a word. This man stood up. He had the courage to stand up and not play the game. And there was only one other parent in that room, one other one, while he was being manhandled. And then they had the audacity to charge him with assault while these people are assaulting our children. Shame on the rest of the parents who stood and did nothing, who sat and did nothing. We are all Robert Smalls. I personally know how difficult it is to be a squeaky wheel, to be a pain in the neck, to be that parent that teachers and principals grumble about and avoid by walking on the other side of the hallway when they see you coming. I don't care. I don't care. Because when I wake up in the morning, my goal, my agenda, my job is to do right by my children. And if that means that I come across as rude, if that means that people are going to tell me that I don't know what the heck I'm talking about, I don't care. Because I learned a long time ago, even before I had my children, that if I didn't speak up for me, nobody would. And that is the vacuum that we're filling in this space. I want to make this clear and very important, that in the movement against this top-down control freak program, that we're not the only ones who oppose it. That, in fact, there are other people on the other side of the aisle that may not share the same views on us about the limited role of government and why that is such an important part of American exceptionalism. There are strange bedfellows on both sides of this aisle, and it is extremely important not to alienate anybody who is a potential ally. I don't like some of the union leaders that I've heard from who are now asking questions, but I am tremendously glad that they are asking them. They may not welcome me, and that's okay with me. Because the more people who speak up, the better chance we have of completely turning back the tide. You all know that 45 states in this country blindly took the candy, and your state did not. Alaska, Nebraska, Virginia, Texas, and Minnesota, which adopted the English standards but not the math standards. These five states are under enormous pressure to conform. You must resist the pressure to conform. I read an op-ed by Chester Finn, a Bush education official who I have had enormous respect for. And he, along with every other Common Core salesperson, claims that Common Core is fiscally responsible. And the same way that Obamacare was shoved down our throats and they told us that it was going to be quote-unquote affordable and they put that in the title of the act, the same way they told us about Obamacare that you got to pass it to find out what's in it, very similar to Obama-Bush Core. All the states that signed up for it blindly, thinking they were going to get this free candy. And now, to quote Jeremiah Wright, the chickens are coming home to roost. The training costs, the implementation costs, the testing costs. Cha-ching. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And, as always, the same way that these estimators and budget people and fiscal analysts always keep downward revising the economic forecast figures, well, it's the opposite with Common Core. They constantly have to revise the cost estimates upward. The inexorable skyrocketing of costs associated with. Is that how you want to spend your tax, precious, scarce education tax resources? No. No. The testing part of this, of course, is central. Because standards are just a proxy for an elite group of educational publishing companies and testing companies to swoop in, take over the testing mechanism, and cash in and then get out. I've mentioned several times in my own blog posts about this Pearson, which of course has a cozy relationship with Jeb Bush's educational nonprofit foundation, and also happens to be the huge testing conglomerate that's in charge of New York's, Texas's, and many educational technology initiatives that are tied to, oh, rather, aligned to. They say alignment so much, I feel like I need to go to the chiropractor. Aligned to the Common Core. Interestingly, the supposedly grassroots bottom-up movements for Common Core are now all backtracking. It is bass-ackwards, if I may say, that this thing that was supposed to be bottom-up, only now, after they signed on and collected all the free candy and got everything aligned in time for the school year, only now are these states finally deciding, oh, hey, gee, maybe we should have some public hearings on that. Maybe we shouldn't be a part of this testing conglomerate until we figure out if our own state standards are better. What? That's a novel idea. Thanks, state legislators and state school board members and governors. You finally realized why you were put in office in the first place. Florida, this last week, Jeb Bush's Florida, has decided, through its governor, Rick Scott, who was previously a Common Core pom-pom waiver, have decided to withdraw from PARC. In Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker has now called for public hearings. Shame! And in other states across the country, there are now movements by many state legislators to pass moratoria on the implementation of these standards as more and more parents and grassroots activists and teachers raise their voices. This is not because the opponents support mediocrity over world-class excellence. It's because they're thinking with their own brains. And yes, just like the left always says, questioning authority. As our primary educational providers, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to stand up in a room like Robert Small did, to go to our kids' classrooms and meet with our principals and ask them, but is it true? We have to do our own homework, and it's entirely possible that something in these thousands of pages of implementation might possibly benefit our children. But these discussions about where we're headed and what are the best textbooks and what are the best means of educating and imparting knowledge have to be completely transparent. And so there's another red flag. Because when these technocrats and experts tell you that you can't be in the room, something stinks. And when they tell you to your face that it's the local people that supported it, and the only people that are banging the drums are people at DC confabs, something stinks. Education has meant everything to me in my life. My parents came here with nothing, but they had intellectual capital. And they use that along with a strong work ethic and a commitment to the civic education of their children, not just the scholarly and scholastic, civic education, which means that we take seriously our responsibilities as citizens in this constitutional republic. And that above so much all else, the means of preserving this republic are self-governance, sovereignty over the family, and support of initiatives and programs that enhance our freedom, not undermine it. The last point I want to get to, and then we have the fun part, which is questions. And unlike Common Core controllers, you don't have to write them in advance. I will take every last one until AFP drags me off the stage. The last point that I want to get to is the issue of privacy. Because the massive amount of data mining and data collection that is going on, and the people that are cashing in, do not benefit our children, do not benefit the sanctity of the family. This point has gotten under the skin the most among many of my, and I do not call them friends. I'm not like John McCain, my friends. I do not call my enemies my friends. They're my enemies. A lot of these enemies, even within the Republican Party, will dismiss, oh, they're so condescending. Oh, those helicopter conspiracy theorists like Glenn Beck and Michelle Malkin. Oh, yeah? You want to come talk about that? I'll debate. I offered to debate Jeb Bush about every aspect, constitutionality, cost, quality, and privacy. And Hugh Hewitt, God bless him, offered to give us a one-hour forum. And we haven't heard back from Jeb Bush. So if you're on Twitter, you can tweet that, "Hi, Jeb, what about that debate with Michelle?" I mentioned Glenn Beck, and he has been tremendous on this issue. Tremendous in giving voice to the parents and the people who are supposed to not be experts, who've been battling this for a long time, long before it came into national view. And so it's easy to dismiss the concerns about privacy because they do the ad hominem attack on us wackos or wacko birds. There are corporations like Achieve, In Bloom, entities that are tied to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that stand to benefit greatly from the collection of this data. Oh, and they'll assure you, don't worry about it. It's not individual student level data. It's just aggregate data. Your privacy is protected. Meanwhile, do your homework and read the fine print, and you'll see that the Obama administration sneakily wrote in federal regulations provisions that undermine FERPA, the Federal Family Privacy Act, that will allow not only drilling down to individual level data, and over the last couple of years, there actually had been posted on federal government sites the amount of data that they were collected. Of course, they whitewashed it and deleted it and tried to get their grubby fingerprints off of it. But it's out there, and it was because of parents in Utah and Indiana that we even know about it. Thank goodness for Justa bloggers and Justa moms for watchdogging this. But all this data is going to be collected, and then because of the changes in the Obama administration, it can be sold to third parties. Now, remember that I told you that there are a lot of non-traditional allies in this fight. And many of the groups who are now protesting the undermining of these privacy regulations, some of them are on the other side of the aisle. And in fact, there is a group called EPIC that has filed a federal lawsuit against the Obama administration over these specific regulations that will open up the floodgates to all sorts of data mining invasions. It is not black helicopter. It is not cuckoo. And the more that they push back using those ad hominem arguments, the more your eyebrow should raise. I can't raise my eyebrow anymore over this stuff. It's up here now. I did a story a couple of months ago that I talked about with Megyn Kelly, another of my faves, who was, bless her heart, paying attention to this before it became as radioactive as it did. And there was a parent who had posted her story on Facebook that her child had been subjected to an iris scan without her permission, and that this happened right before Memorial Day holiday weekend when a lot of parents weren't paying attention, and people thought, this is too bad to be true. This can't be true. So I called up the school district myself and talked to the guy who was in charge of it, and he admitted that, in fact, they had submitted an untold number of students to these iris scans, and of course they claimed it was for the children. For the children. It was part of their public safety program. They were going to scan the irises of anybody who got on a bus, and oops, it was just an oversight. They just forgot to tell the parents it was a glitch. It's always a bureaucratic glitch. Oh, them. Mom and Dad. Oh, yeah. God. That kind of invasion is of a piece with the innumerable invasions that we will see if these people get their way. Now, they always promise, oh, it's going to be secure. Meanwhile, we know what's going on in Washington when it comes to our personal security. Sure, Lois Lerner was protecting taxpayers too. And the people in charge of the DOJ snooping program, NSA, Fast and Furious. Oh yeah, trust them. Just trust them. There was a story yesterday that I'll end with and then we'll take questions, out of Los Angeles. The $30 million Pearson Common Core iPad program, which was voted for and went through the LAUSD, talk about sinkholes, has been suspended because the security locks on these iPads were breached by kids. That's right. Now, prior to this story, it had been reported by a local LA media outlet that these $45,000, 700 per iPad glorified e-textbooks were actually being abandoned by some of the teachers because they couldn't figure out how to sync it all together in the classroom despite millions of dollars of training for it in the summer. So the kids were going home. By the way, of course, these are preloaded with Common Core standards. And the students were pretty impatient because they couldn't do anything with them. And so they figured out that if they deleted the individual personal profile for each iPad, that shazam, they'd be able to play Minecraft and get on Twitter and tweet to all their friends how to unlock the iPads and get on Facebook and stream Pandora music? $30 million they poured into that, and Pearson wants to replicate this nationwide for the children. When you leave this room, go to the Common Core official page if you haven't already. Read every single page there. Do your homework. Network with each other. Make use of AFP's resources. Find others who you can join with in common cause. Follow the coverage on Glenn Beck's site and EAG News. My friend Kyle Olson does such a fabulous job. Other activists, you can connect in the spirit of transparency, which is what I'm all about. I have a public Twitter list. Is every person in this room? Yes, on Twitter. If you're not, get on it. Find someone to help you. Use the hashtag StopCommonCore. And then I have a public list that you can join that is essentially a 24/7 nonstop stream of news and posts and links from Stop Common Core activists and experts all across the country. We have to do it ourselves and take control. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And now we're going to start the question and answer portion. I'll start the question on this side, and we'll go back and forth for as long as we can. So right here, right up front.
Hi. This spring, I just finished 17 years of homeschooling. And I'm still alive. Because I have a daughter who loved to read and majored in creative writing and has read over 7,000 books, the thing that I am most concerned of is the moral implications of Common Core. I'm married to an accountant, so math is very important. I'm a dietitian, and math is important, but I like art, okay? What I have read about Common Core is chilling when it comes to reading. Pornography, the dumbing down, the lowering of standards, the moral issues. Could you speak to that? Because math kids can do or run away from, but the images that are formed in their little minds when pornography or the other kinds of insidious words pass through their eyes into their minds.
Yes.
It's horrible.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking that question. Oh, I have so much to say. Where to begin? The illusion of raising standards in English and language arts is completely debunked when you look at the actual texts and books that are now Common Core aligned and Common Core approved. And I think in particular you might be talking about The Bluest Eye, which is now on a lot of these lists and has raised the eyebrows of many parents and local activists and educators across the country. And that really is just the tip of the iceberg, because all sorts of crap is now passing for literature, and I experienced this even when I was at my crazy liberal arts college. It is part of, this is a big picture, of a larger movement by academics in the humanities and your University of Chicago types towards deconstructionism. And I'm sure that the name Derrida will ring a bell for some of you, and if it doesn't, go look him up, D-E-R-R-I-D-A. And of course, this is the idea of moral equivalence. And so the same way that you've got these math people telling you that, oh, it's okay if 3 times 4 is 11, as long as you explain your answer, applied to English and the language arts curriculum, no piece of writing is better than any other. And so it is the most extreme kind of moral equivalence, and in particular, what many education reformers and English experts and people like Sandra Stotsky and many others in her arena have identified with regard to the lack of quality, the dumbing down, as you call it, is that these Common Core people are now slowly encroaching on classic literature and replacing it with junk like The Bluest Eye or informational texts, nonfiction, propaganda, op-ed pieces from The New Yorker, and speeches by Al Gore and Barack Obama. Because no literature is better than any other. And I'm glad that you mentioned that you're a homeschooler. We homeschool my 9-year-old. My 13-year-old goes to a public charter school. And it is very important for those of you in the room who do not send your kids to public schools know that you are not safe from this regime either. It is an all-encompassing Borg. Because even if your kids don't go to public schools, homeschool curricula have been affected as well. They're trying to align it all together. And then even if somehow you're able to keep good curriculum in the homeschooling home classroom, when your kids have to go and take the college testing, whether it's the ACT or the SAT, those are being aligned as well. The people that are in charge of the College Board are tied into the Common Core mob. I agree with you that this raises fundamental moral questions. I think that's exactly the right way to put it. Because this is not merely some secular matter. It goes to the heart of family control. And oh, by the way, Christian and religious schools are also not safe and immune as well. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a special program on Noon Forum. We've heard an address given at an education reform town hall. The event was sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Nebraska. The guest speaker was Michelle Malkin, nationally syndicated columnist, regular commentator on the Fox News Network, and author of The Culture of Corruption, Obama and His Team of Tax Cheats, Crooks, and Cronies, and Unhinged, Exposing Liberals Gone Wild. The topic of her talk was The Common Core Curriculum. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday evening, September 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Christopher Nefus, State Communications Manager for Americans for Prosperity and the Americans for Prosperity Foundation, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.